Okay, praise the Lord. I was debating what I should do. I had a message that was just a one-off message that was fairly well developed in me, but not fully. And I had that for several weeks now going on, kind of bubbling up. And then I had a series that I had preached before. Some of you were here at the time, some of you were not. And I don't like to preach something just because I have it and just because it's convenient. I never do that. It's always because God puts something on my heart and I feel like there's a need for it. Or even if I don't understand it, I feel the prompting of God that there's a need for it. So I am going to be starting the four-part series today on giving. And the sermon that I have, which I'm really excited about, which is a one-off thing, that'll come after the series, either immediately after or with a little space. But I do want to start this series again this morning, and it's on the subject of giving. And this one is entitled, it's part one entitled, Are You a Giver? So we'll start off and we'll open this up by saying, making the unequivocal statement that God is a giver. And I'm going to read through several scriptures here. You don't have to turn there. In fact, I probably, unless you're a speed turner, you won't have time to keep up with me. But you're welcome to follow up later and get any scripture reference from me from my notes if you so desire. Or you could listen back through the message, the recording. But first of all, John 3:16, we all know this one. For God so loved the world that He, what? Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, we're going to be talking about giving in the overall sense. It's not just going to be about money. In this process of the series, today and others, we'll be talking about money. But it's not just about money. It's about giving and all the various aspects of giving. And the question we're going to ask ourselves today is, are we a giver? Am I a giver? Am I a person that finds it easy to obey God when it comes to the area of giving? And do I understand what that means? But we see that giving, true biblical giving, is not just throwing things away. It's not just getting rid of things because of any other reason. It's not a biblical reason if it's not based on love. We should be giving because we love. Giving is an outflow of love, an outflow of compassion. Whether back towards God or to one another, wherever it's to, it's in response to a need to express love. So God so loved the world that He gave. There comes a place when you have so much of the love of God within you that it has to be expressed. It can't be just thought. Love that's just thought is not true love. Love is always expressed in some kind of way, and it requires a giving on our part. Romans 8:32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Galatians 1:4, Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Ephesians 4:11, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And Psalm 37:4, Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God is a giver. Everything about God is a giver. God doesn't withhold. to those that He loves and who are stand upright before Him, God gives, and He freely gives us all things. We're going to be talking about our role as those who love God and who are called according to His purposes, who are created in His image and in His likeness, that we should be givers also. But we want to quantify and qualify the fact that it's not right to give into every circumstance and every situation. So before we talk about giving in this broad sense, and how to give and where to give and why to give, let's talk about, first of all, when not to give. And first of all, we do not give when it strengthens the hand of the wicked. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 3 says, "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." We don't give, secondly, when it rewards the foolish. Matthew 25 and 8, "And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." And what did they say? Okay. No, they said, "Go get your own." We don't reward foolishness. I don't believe in this fact that, and I know at a certain age maybe, but as people mature, I don't believe in the fact that everybody gets a trophy. You know, everybody gets a winner's trophy. There's people who don't try and don't participate and don't have a heart to do it and who live life in such a way that the things that they do have, they throw away. You don't reward that by giving them more. It's just going to be thrown away. You don't reward the foolish. And it goes right along with the third point. When that which is given is neither valued or appreciated. Matthew 7, 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. You don't just give to somebody who's not going to appreciate it and is going to throw it away. Someone who's going to tear a car up, who's not going to take care of it, doesn't deserve a car. Someone who's going to take money and go spend it on drugs or alcohol doesn't need that money. I had someone come up to me at a gas station in South Fort Worth. It's not the first time that the same thing's been said to me. This time it was a woman. She said she had a boy and her son in the car with her. And she wanted money. She started out in Denton. She wanted to get down to San Antonio. And she needed money. And I learned a long time ago, I don't give money out unless God tells me to. I do not give cash money out. If somebody says I'm hungry, I say, let me go buy you something. I'm not going to give you money. If I need gas, well, if I move to do that, then I'm going to put gas in the car and not give them the money. And so I walked. I said, give me a minute to think about it. I'll be right over. Where pump are you at? And I went over and I said, I'm not going to give you cash. I said, but I will use my card and I will put gas in your car. And I'll put up to $15, I said. And then she said, oh, okay, thank you very much. But it may not hold a lot. She said, I had an accident and my gas tank was damaged and it's all been patched up and now it's a whole lot smaller, so it probably won't hold a lot. So, it held about $10 worth. Do you think the lady really needed gas? I feel glad. I'm glad that I did it. I didn't have a check in my spirit to say no. And I know she's not going to use that gas somehow, I don't think so, to sell the gas and buy drugs. I feel confident that, and I talked to her a little bit. I said, well, the reason I'm doing this, I said, I've seen so many people who take what they're given and go out and buy alcohol and buy drugs. And I said, I can't support that. I'm a Christian. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Oh, I would never do that. Well, they all say that. And I know there's some honest people in honest situations. You have to be led by the Spirit. So this is not a concrete thing. But keep in the back of your head, we don't reward foolishness, and we don't give to those who don't value it and appreciate it, and it's not a genuine need. Proverbs 23, verse 9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. You know, there comes a point I like to try to help people who are in need, not just with money, but when it comes to the issues of life. When I see something that might help them, when I know that I've lived a godly life for a number of years and God has given me wisdom, withholding that's just like withholding money from somebody who needs money. And if I see a person who needs my input into their life, I want to give it. I'm not trying to be a busybody. I really want to help somebody who needs help. But in the process of that, when I see somebody who doesn't value or appreciate and does not want me to share my wisdom with them, I'm not going to keep on and keep on and keep on. At some point, somebody's going to have to reach out and say, you know, when you offered to help, I really could use that. I do value your wisdom. I do value what the Lord has shown you. But it's wrong to keep going on and on and on at somebody who has declared their intent by either their words or their actions, I don't want what you're saying. It's wrong to waste it. It's like throwing your pearls before swine. They'll just trample on it. Does that change my heart? It doesn't change my heart. As soon as there's something within somebody who wants to draw it out of me, there is nothing within me that wants to stop it. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing within me that says, no, you didn't want it 10 days ago. My heart is, oh, thank God. Thank God that something's changed and you're open. So as it is with money, it's the same with so many different areas of our life. Anything where we are prompted to give to somebody, we have to make sure that our giving is going to be a help to them. We're first of all doing it because we love them and we care for them. And then secondly, that it will be a blessing and benefit to them. And thirdly, that they will receive it and at least appreciate the gift of it. Next, let's talk about when to give. First of all, when it's right to give. Through the Scriptures, what the Scripture has to say about it, and we'll talk about several of those today, and through discernment of the Holy Spirit. When it's right to do so, because the Scriptures tell us it's right, and or the Holy Spirit tells us it's right to give. Secondly, it's right to give, and the time to give is when it's right to give, and when you have the ability to do it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Now, whose are the ones it's due to? The ones that the Scripture tells you it's due to, and the Holy Spirit agrees that it's right. So don't withhold anything good from someone to whom it's due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. If your need is $10,000 this morning, and you really need $10,000. And I see that it's a good thing, and I see scripturally, and I see that you would be very appreciative of it, you'd use it for the right thing, and all the things line up except for the fact I don't have $10,000. That means that I cannot help you at that level. That doesn't mean I can't help towards it, but I can't give you something I don't have. Is everybody with me this morning? You can't give somebody else something you don't have, and you can't, and I'm against, I'm telling you right now, unless the Holy Spirit speaks to you personally, and I would get this checked out by other people who are godly people, but preachers who get on the TV and say, you send me $1,000, I don't care whether you don't have it or not, send it by credit card, God will honor it. I am against that. That violates the Scripture, it says when you have it to give. If you don't have it, you can't give it. You're giving the banks money. God didn't give you the authority to give the banks money. God didn't give you the authority to give the credit cards money, company's money. God gave you the authority to give what He's given you to give. Amen. So don't feel pressured to give what you don't have. I would say if God moved upon you to give $1,000 or $10,000 to something and you don't have it, and God put it upon your heart to do it, say, God, as you bless me, I will fulfill that promise. I promise I will obey you, and as you give it, I'll give it. I believe God can honor that. Just make sure you uphold your promise. Don't ever promise something you're not going to keep. But the Lord doesn't expect you to give something you don't have. The leadership of this church doesn't expect you to give something you don't have. As a person, as a human being, I don't expect you to give something that you don't have to give. That would be unrighteous. That would be wrong. But we need to start thinking outside the box and be able to think, well, what can I give? If I haven't got money to give, do I have time to give? Do I have energy? Do I have a smile? Do I have words that can encourage? The question is, are you a giver? Not, are you a money giver? That's part of it, but we don't always have money at the time. Does that preclude us from being a giver in all the other aspects of our life? No, it should not. Is there a reason for giving scripturally? Is the Holy Spirit say yes, and do I have the ability? And if I don't have the ability in one way, can I do something else? But live within your means. Give within your means. Now, I have given my last dollar, but it was mine to give. I've given my last $20, my last $100. I've given to the point we have no more to give. And that's okay if the Lord tells you to do it. But I haven't given somebody else's money. And I'm encouraging you, don't do that. Amen? Amen. Next, where to give? Well, we should give to the Lord directly. This is our first place where we live a life of giving, and that is back to the Lord. Well, we start off in praise and worship. Psalms 118:29, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." We give thanks to our God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Psalm 29:1, a psalm of David, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength." Psalm 29:2, "Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." That's a beautiful little song, by the way, if anybody knows it. A little scripture song. Very, very beautiful. But it's, what a powerful truth. We are to give to the Lord. We are to give thanks unto the Lord. We are to give worship unto Him. It is due Him. And when we give something to the Lord, we should always give our best. We should always give that which cost us something, just as David said. We should go out of our way. Our giving should express our love. And we're not talking about amounts. Remember Jesus, when He was standing back by the treasury and He saw people putting money into the treasury, and He saw the little widow woman who put her little coin in. And He said, "She has given more than they all." She didn't give more in dollar amounts or currency that they were in. She didn't give, but percentage-wise and from what she had to give, she gave everything. She put from her poverty, she put from her need, she gave out of her need, and she gave, the other ones just gave pocket change, chump change. Even though it might have been a lot. Might have been worth thousands. But if you got millions and you have access to millions and you're swimming in it, what's a few hundred? What's a few thousand? Nothing like that little widow woman gave. So when we're talking about giving, we're talking about giving with a right heart. We're not talking about huge amounts in the world's eyes. We're talking about being obedient to God and giving what you have to give and being extravagant with that. So we're to give unto the Lord and we're to give Him praise that's due His name. Second thing we're to give to the Lord, we're to give attention or to give heed. We're to give heed to His written word. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Acts 6:4, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." We are to give heed and give attention to the word of God. Secondly, we are to give attention to the Word of God as it's spoken through spiritual leadership. I want you to get this. God can speak something to you through His Word as you read it. You're to give heed to it. I'm to give heed to it. God is to speak. God gives us words through His Holy Spirit. When the Spirit within us bears witness that He's speaking to us, we're to give heed to it. If the Holy Spirit says, "Share that that I put on your heart," what are we to do? We're to respond. We're to give diligence. We're to give heed to that. Last week, there was a talk after the worship service and encouragement that we should, somebody has something on their heart to share it. Jennifer shared what was on her heart. Susan told me later that was a word from God directly to her. It was something that spoke to Susan directly. She heard the voice of God speaking through Jennifer's obedience to the Holy Spirit. We're to give heed to the things that the Lord says to us. If He moves upon us, we're to give heed to that. But we're also to give heed to that which is spoken through those who are in spiritual leadership who have proven time and time again that they have the mind of Christ, they do operate in faith, that they are people of integrity and character, and people you can trust that they hear the voice of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul's talking to Timothy, and he said to meditate upon these things. And these things are the things that he had told him. All the things that he was giving him, the advice and the encouragement and the direction he was giving him, he said, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them." Basically what he's saying, "Timothy, when I share with you something that the Lord's put on my heart for you, I want you to give yourself to it. Do what you've been encouraged to do through me." So, brothers and sisters, we need to not just cast off those things that are spoken to us by those who care about us, love us, and have the responsibility of watching for our souls. We're also to give to the Lord indirectly. One thing, let me back up a minute. I was going to skip over, but I won't, because the Lord just showed me how much it applies here based on what we just said. The third thing that we give unto the Lord is we're going to give an account unto Him. There is going to be a day when we reckon for every deed done in this body, in our flesh, whether we have obeyed God, whether we have obeyed His Word, whether we obeyed the prompting of His Holy Spirit, whether we have obeyed those who have been placed in our lives and given spiritual authority to watch for our souls, is they that must give an account. Not only are people going to give an account for the wisdom that they tried to pass to you, you're going to have to give an account. I'm going to have to give an account for what we do with the wisdom that was given to us through spiritual leadership in our lives. One day you will give an account to God. Whether you think you can ignore things or not today, one day you will give an account to God for that. Romans 14:12, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Next, we must give to the Lord indirectly. How do we give to the Lord indirectly? Well, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17 says, "He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he repay him again." When we do something, when we respond, and when we give at the prompting of the Lord, then we're not just giving to that need, we're giving unto the Lord. Again, whether it's our time, whether it is our money, whether it is whatever the Lord is prompting us to give, love, hospitality, when we give of ourselves to others, especially when it's in response to God, and we know God is requiring that of us, God's saying, "You're doing that unto me." It's just like it was Jesus standing there instead of Caleb or Joseph or Eric. It's Jesus standing there we're doing things to and for. So we need to remember that to respond to God and to give the things that He prompts us to give, either by His Word, His Spirit, or otherwise, we are doing unto the Lord. We give to the Lord, and we'll talk about this more later, but we give to the Lord indirectly when we give our tithes, which go toward the things that we'll find out later that they go towards, but it's for the operation and the ongoing ministry of the Lord through His church. We give to the Lord indirectly when we give offerings for the work of the church to support building programs or to support outreaches, support missions trips, or whatever the church is saying, can we come together and support this together. We are giving unto the Lord when we bless those in spiritual authority. You're giving to the Lord when you come and you do something. When the Lord moves upon you and you think, "Well, I hadn't got a lot of money right now, but maybe I could wash Jason's car. Maybe that'd be a blessing. Maybe I could carry this person's bag. Maybe I could bring him some meat for my hunting trip. My fish for my fishing trip. Maybe I could help dig their garden. Maybe I could come and just be a blessing somehow. Maybe I could do more than ignore the fact that they preached that Sunday. Maybe I could be a blessing by coming up and say, 'You know, that spoke to me.'" There's all kinds of ways that we can give to those who are in spiritual authority. And we'll get into that more later. Offerings to help the saints in troubled areas, just like in the Scriptures. If we found out that there's a flood in Louisiana and there's Christians and others that are suffering, and the Lord lays it upon our heart to help by sending whatever we have to help. Alms are giving to the poor, giving to those with needs within and without the church. Love gifts to family, friends, church family, to bless and encourage. It's wrong to always think that we give because there is a need. Those people are worse off than us. You know, you can give to somebody who has more than you. It's a way of being a blessing. It doesn't always have to meet a need. It's to express love. Do we only love people who are poorer than us? Or can we find a way for those? And I got this wrong for years because I used to think in my mind, "I'll never give to a preacher who has more money than me." How wrong would it be for me to give money to a preacher who has more money than me? And the Lord stopped me in my tracks one day as I started reading Scripture. Scripture will cure your wrong doctrine within you. We give to those who have blessed us spiritually in order to say thank you and to honor the work of God in their lives, not necessarily to meet a financial need. Some of y'all would begin to grow and leave the place you're at and begin to take off like a rocket if you just learned that principle of honoring those. Because we give also to show honor. A guy brings a gift into the king. Is the king poorer than the guy that comes in bringing the gift? No. The king's got the kingdom. He's got everything. Why does he need your little gift? Because that gift expresses your heart. The gift expresses your love. The gift expresses your honor. And whether he takes it and cherishes it, or he takes it and throws in a pile of other gifts that he got all morning long, that doesn't matter. What matters is what you did before the king, before God. Now, I'm talking to people who know me, and you know, and I know you, you know me. It'd be a whole lot easier for me to preach this some other church. A whole lot easier. Because all people are doing at that point is hearing what God is saying instead of thinking all these other little lateral things. I'm going to ask you, please get those things out of your head. I don't need your money. Just like the king doesn't need your money. And I'm not as wealthy as a king by any means. But I'm not saying these things because it would benefit me for anybody to give to me. But just like Paul said, and if you can believe, Paul said, I don't say these things for my benefit. I say it so that you might receive a blessing. People, I love you enough to tell you the truth, whether you get it mixed up in your head, what I'm saying or not. I'm not asking for anything. I don't need anything. But perhaps you do need something by letting go of some things. By learning how to honor. And I'm saying this by the Spirit of God. We got a lot of good things going here. We got a lot of right things going here. But one thing that's holding people back is they don't honor. They haven't found a way to honor and express honor. And when you learn to do that, it'll make a tremendous difference in your life. If I'm lacking in that area and I learn to do that, it'll make a big, huge difference in my life. It's a spiritual fact. We must honor. Gifts to strangers is another way we give to the Lord indirectly. Random acts of kindness. Just if you stand in a grocery store and all of a sudden you see a little kid and you ask the mom, can I buy him this? Or you see that the mom has, you know, a loaf of bread and a bottle of milk. Can I pay for that? Just random acts of kindness. I was going through Starbucks one day and they said, it's paid for. I said, I don't have a free one today because you get earned stars. They said, no, it's not your rewards. It's the person in front of you paid for yours. I said, well, bless their little hearts. And they said, well, actually, it's been going on for several cars now. They keep saying, oh, can I pay for the one behind me since mine's paid for? And then the guy said, he said, do you want to pay for the one behind you? I said, no, thank you. Why? I didn't want to feel like I had to do it. I didn't want to feel like I'm doing it because the world told me to. I want to respond to the Spirit of God. Paying for a drink is nothing to me. You know, it's not a big deal. But again, I said, we're not to give. I'm not going to give just because the world tells me to give. And a lot of times at the grocery store, do you want to give to this cause? If the Lord prompts me, I'll say, yeah, I'll give to that cause. If they say, you want to give to this cause, and I don't know what it is, or I don't feel pressured. I say, no, not today, thank you. That person at Starbucks kind of looked at me funny, but I thought, I'm not going to do something just because somebody's looking at me funny. That's not giving, that's taken from me. I want to give when I give. But random acts of kindness. Gifts to our enemies as a demonstration of God's goodness and grace. Somebody who's doing you wrong, talking about you and everything, just show up one day with some home-baked goods or whatever and say, you know what? I just want to tell you I love you. Appreciate you. Give it to them. Walk away. Man, it's got an impact. giving does things. And lastly, from what in my notes anyway, I'm not saying this is everything, but this is the last thing I'm going to talk about as far as how do we give to the Lord indirectly. We give sometimes to gain favor. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16 says, "A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men." When I first heard that scripture and as it was being preached, they were talking about it as though a man's spiritual gift will bring him before great men. And while I still believe that that's true, I bought into it at the time, and I still believe that it's true, that's not what the scripture is specifically talking about. It's talking about giving a gift to the king or to someone who's in authority. Someone who doesn't need your gift for their benefit, but they might need it to for you to show in their, your heart to them and the fact that you honor them. Okay, next, how to give. Well, you give with your full measure. You don't be chinchy. They used to say in church, I want you to give to this. And if you got two figures in your mind, the highest one is God speaking. And everybody laughs and everything. But they meant it, you know. But be willing. Say, "Lord, I got these two figures. You know, I get $20 and I get $30. And if you can't figure out which one it is, I'd err on the higher side. I just always do that if possible. Because you want to come with a bountiful measure. Given, it should be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." So, giving bountifully when you can. Again, don't give something you don't have. Next, willingly and cheerfully. Every man, 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man give, every man according as he had purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Here's the Amplified Bible on that verse. Let each one of us, as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves. That means he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, which is a joyous, prompt to do it, giver, whose heart is in his giving. God wants us to give cheerfully. If it hurts to do it, it always, not always, but sometimes it can hurt the moment you let go of it. But then you have the peace of God. And it doesn't keep hurting because you don't think about it. You let it go. You give it to God. But somebody who thinks, "Man, I gave it. I wish I hadn't given it." Don't give it. If you know you're going to respond like that, don't give it. Because God loves a cheerful and willing to do it giver. Lastly, how do we give? Next to last, we do in secret. Matthew 6, 1 through 4, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thine left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." At one time, I used to really go overboard in trying to obey that scripture, and it got silly. Basically, what God is saying is, don't do it to be seen. Don't do it to draw attention to yourself. Just do it, just like a natural flow. I don't tell my wife I love her so everybody else can see how great a guy I am. I just tell my wife I love her. If somebody else happens to hear, that's okay. But I don't do it for them. I do it for her. And that's how we give. And then lastly, expecting nothing in return. Luke chapter 6, verse 35, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. For your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." We give not as a lever to create something in another person. We give expecting nothing in return. I don't, if I bring over something that I cook to you, I don't expect you to have to return in kind. I don't mind if you do. I'm talking to Michael here. We share cooked items. But when I give something, I can't wait. Susan said, "What are you making all that for?" I said, "Well, I don't know." She said, "That's a lot for us." "Well, I guess I'll have to give some away." And then, "Michael, do you want some of this? Jennifer, do you want some of this?" I love doing that. But I'm not expecting, "Okay, I gave you three. Now you only gave me two. You still owe me one." We don't do it for that reason. Amen? Okay, what to give? And we're going to end here. Well, we give our time. Remember, we're talking about being a giver as a person. I'm sorry. I wondered where that went. It's not the last. Don't consider me untruthful. Just wrong, incorrect. What to give? We give our time by helping, listening, teaching, training, serving, being a friend. We give of our talents, the things that we're good at. Man, if you're known as being someone who makes the best peach cobbler in the world, and every time somebody tries it, they say, "Man, this is great. This is better than what my grandma used to make." That's a talent you have. Somehow you got a talent in that. Don't be afraid to use it. I'll try it out. I'll let you know if it's any good or not. I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you if you have to go back and make another one and try again. And your treasure. That's what we give. Actually, basically, we're given of ourselves. Anything we give, it's a piece of us, whether it's our money, whether it's our time, whether it's our talent. We're giving of ourselves. It's coming from within us. Now, we're getting close to the end. Just bear with me just a couple minutes longer. What is the opposite of giving? Can anybody tell me what the opposite of giving is? Taking is one thing that immediately comes to mind. It's not actually the biblical opposite of giving, but that's my first thought. Anybody else have a first thought of
withholding?
Withholding is the opposite of giving. It's giving or not giving. So withholding is the opposite of giving. It's a spiritual opposite. God does not withhold. Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" If you know he spared his own son, which was the most prized possession he got, what else could he want to withhold from you? What's more meaningful, powerful, expensive, extravagant than his own son? Nothing. So what else would he withhold from us? And that's what the scripture's saying. How should he not with him also freely give us all things? Psalm 84:11, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." How many things will the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly? None. No good thing will he withhold. So, because he's a giver, we should be a giver. And because he doesn't withhold, we should not be one that withholds. Proverbs 3, verse 27, "Withhold not good from them whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it." Proverbs 11, 24 through 26, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall water also himself, will be watered himself. He that withholdeth corn, The people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. James 2:15-16, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? We're not to be those that withhold unless there's a scriptural reason for not giving. What causes people to withhold instead of give? First of all, selfishness. A heart that is not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Someone who's not responding in love, who doesn't look at others and think, how can I be a blessing to them? How can I show love to them? How can I humble myself and show them as being greater than me? Selfishness. Secondly, a fear of lack. What if I run out for me? If I give what I have, if I give that last $10, what happens to me? How am I going to buy a burger on the way home? How am I going to buy milk for my children? I mean, it does get down to that sometimes. How am I going to buy diapers for my little baby? What if I run out? And that comes from a mind that is not renewed to the Word of God, who doesn't trust God, who doesn't see that if they'll just obey God, God will keep the pipeline flowing. Next is fear of rejection. My gift is not good enough. It's inadequate. What if all I have to give is to share this pack of gum I have in my pocket? That's all I got. I'm down to nothing. And you know, and I might need this gum later, because people tell me sometimes my breath doesn't smell too good. So I might need this gum. But you know, you see, you're working with so-and-so over there, and you think, well, I could bless him with a piece. And then so-and-so walks up while you're doing that, you think, well, I could bless him with a piece. No matter how small the thing is, if you live a life of giving, you're not giving, again, to receive. So it doesn't matter if people think you're the greatest guy in the world or not. You're just obeying God. You're just living a life of a giver. We don't fear. I used to think, what can I give my dad? My dad had everything. My dad's not in the same position today. My dad's health is not what it used to be. There's a lot of things that I can do to honor my dad that I couldn't find the way to do before. But I look back on that period and I really do think I could have tried harder. I really could have tried harder just because I can see it today and I can see a need. See, I'm responding to needs I see rather than the fact that I could have honored my father just because he was my father. I wasn't as wise as I should have been back then, but I've learned since then. I don't live with guilt. I don't live with shame. I've asked God to forgive me, and I go on and I try to honor my father better today. But that thought did go through my mind the times when I thought about how could I honor him. I thought, well, he's got everything. If I gave him anything, what would he need? That's the thing that keeps us out of giving. We don't worry about that. Doesn't matter if it's something that he hadn't had before. It's not making a huge difference in his life. It's just expressing my heart. It's letting him know I love him, letting him know I honor him, letting him know I care for him. And then, lastly, what causes people to withhold? Unforgiveness or bitterness. A desire to punish or to hurt. I don't feel like you've treated me fairly. I don't feel like you've been as kind to me as what you could have been, or you did this instead of this, and I wanted you to do this, or you're not the person that I thought you were, or whatever. You know, you get all these things built up in your head. And so, I'm going to withhold. I'm going to hurt you for hurting me. I'm going to punish you for your lack towards me. That's not how the Lord operates, and that's not how we should operate. We all fall short. We all have hurt one another. We've all done things. We've all said things. It it can be something that's even misunderstood and not right. Last night, Susan and I were talking about something, and she heard something that I didn't say. And I thought, what? Where did you get that from? She said, well, that's what you said. I said, no, I didn't. And that's not the first time we've had misunderstandings on who said what. But it was all over. She believed me when I said, well, I didn't say that. She said, well, that's what I thought. Well, let's go on. Sometimes it can just be misunderstanding. It's just we heard something different than what somebody said. Or anybody ever been talking and thought they said one thing and something else came out of their mouth? Like you thought you said Mackenzie, but you said Abigail? And you're sure you said Mackenzie, but Abigail came out of your mouth. Well, that happens to us. Sometimes we say things without even realizing what we're saying. Let's don't hold things against people and all that kind of stuff. Let's get things right between us. It's good to get it out and talk about it. But for sure, don't punish me because you think I did something. Come and tell me what I did. Come and give me a chance to ask your forgiveness if I did something or said something. To hold it against me is wrong. And all the time you're holding against me, you're withholding your love. You're withholding your giving. You're withholding any way you respond with honor. So let's don't let unforgiveness and bitterness keep us out of being a blessing. Now we're going to end. I'm going to end with this question, or these two questions. Are you a giver or are you a withholder? Are you living a life of giving, or have you been one that holds back and is waiting to show friendship to someone when they're just a little bit better friend? And show love when they are a little bit better at showing love. When we'll buy lunch for somebody when they look like they may return the favor. Are you a giver? Or are you a withholder? Because one way you're operating like God, the other way you're operating just exactly the opposite. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the truth, the spiritual truth concerning giving. Lord, as we go forward in this series, I ask that you continue to show us things that will bring revelation and bring a change to our lives. Lord, let us hear the things that we need to hear. Let us respond to those things. Let us make changes if we need to. Lord God, help us by your grace to not refuse that which will benefit our life. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. I thank you for this people. I ask, Lord, for every heart here that has been encouraged to walk away with that encouragement and live out of that encouragement. For every person here that's also received a challenge or perhaps even a rebuke, Lord, let the proper response be made in Jesus' name. Amen.